Ever dream of a three-row SUV where everything for every passenger feels just right? Introducing the all-new Infiniti QX80. With available features like biometric cooling, electronic air suspension, and segment-first individual audio that isolates sound right to the driver's seat. Discover every just-right feature in the all-new QX80 at InfinitiUSA.com. 2025 QX80 is not yet available for purchase. Expected availability summer 2024. Individual audio cannot buffer all interior sounds. See owner's manual for details.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. I'll be here today with Connor Kegley and Kedrick Prince to talk a little bit about this victory, Illinois 91-83 over Wisconsin, in a game that didn't have nearly as much drama as what Illinois fans anticipated. The Illini win the Big Ten record fourth game in a row at Kohl Center. Nobody's done that, and it is nice for the Illini to be the first team to accomplish it. We'll be right back after these messages.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Hi, I'm Ronnie Deutsch, and if you or your business owe money to the IRS, I've got great news for you. Tax laws have changed. Billions of dollars are earmarked for IRS Fresh Start programs, and if you qualify, you can literally save tens of thousands of dollars. Listen, I know what you're going through. Call me if you want to speak with a tax attorney or tax professional for free.
800-523-6376. That's 800-523-6376.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. I am here with Kedrick Prince, and I will be here also with Connor Kegley. We are going to go over the results of today's game. Illinois winning its record fourth in a row at the Kohl Center. No other Big Ten team has done that. 91-83 over the Wisconsin Badgers in a game that it had its moments. But really, in the second half, the Illini took control and were able to keep the buffer much larger, and they didn't run into the problems they ran into against Michigan State, Penn State, which resulted in losses, and Nebraska, which resulted in an overtime victory. Kedrick, as we look at this game, give me your initial thoughts on what you saw out there and what was going on with the Illini as they kind of cruised to a victory here.
Well, I'm going to start off the podcast with, for all the times and all the years Illinois fans have been frustrated when a player leaves the state of Illinois to come back to Compton. Today, it happened to another team. So for you fans who think that it doesn't happen, Marcus Domask went to Madison. He ate lunch, breakfast, dinner, had a bunch of Scooby snacks, and he torched the lights out of Wisconsin today. So finally, you know what it feels like when a team doesn't offer you a scholarship or doesn't work your way, because I remember interviewing Marcus Domask's dad, and you guys can find that on IlliniGuys.com, and his mother. And that was one of the things they talked about. Wisconsin didn't offer him a scholarship. So now you know what it feels like, and I know the Badgers fans, I have a lot of friends who are Wisconsin fans, and they are now texting, asking me, how did we let him go? Well, you know what? It happened. So that's my first initial thought, and I'm going to be the first to admit it. I am a true believer of this team now. I mean, I have, because you've been heartbroken before, but I'm a true believer. I thought there's no way in this world. People were asking me. I didn't think the spread. I don't gamble. I just say that for entertainment purposes, and I really mean that. I didn't think Illinois was going to win today. Wisconsin had everything to gain. Everything was in their favor. Their backs are to the wall. But I'm going to end it with this. This team is as good as any team in the flipping country. They can put up 91 points in Madison, Wisconsin. And I'm sorry, I said I was done. Brad Underwood should be coach of the year. That's, I'm tired of just giving it to everybody else because they won. It was supposed to be. Brad deserves this issue. This team is amazing.
Yeah, what was Brad was not going to get it the years that he won the Big Ten tournament and the Big Ten conference. And, you know, even in a year where we tied with Greg Gard for the title, Illinois ended up with what, a 15-5 record that year. And still, Greg Gard got it because, you know, Illinois has more talent. But Illinois gets picked either third or fourth this year in the conference, and yet he's going to finish above that, and he's going to be, you know, up there fighting with Purdue as the only two teams really in it for the conference title, and yet he'll probably not win the coach of the year again. But, you know, maybe that'll motivate him for next year, so that's positive on that regard. But yeah, this game was a Marcus Damask special. He really just took it personal. He said, you know, I'm going to make you guys pay for not recruiting me. And he, you know, he had a little bit of a cold spell coming out of half, but he did not let that deter him. He kept going right at Tyler Wahl, and there was really nothing Tyler Wahl could do. You know, I'm surprised that they didn't switch someone else on to him, because Tyler Wahl was not having his way at all, slowing him down. And, you know, maybe they should have tried Store, but honestly, I'm not sure, regardless of who they put on him today, that, he was going to be able to get any stops on Damask.
It kind of wouldn't have mattered, because if you're a lip reader like I am, I mean, there were several times when Marcus scored, the defender just, there was a couple F-bombs and some other explicit language. They didn't have an answer for him. And this is what makes Illinois special. You have to pick your poison. Most teams don't have three or four great defenders. If you do that to Marcus Damask and you take him away, then Terrence Shannon's going to make you pay. And or Ty Rogers will get you in the post to make you pay. Or Coleman Hawkins or Quincy Guerriere. They just have a lot of weapons. You have to pick your poison. I mean, you just do. And I know this is weird to see, but I'm just saying again, 91 points in Madison, Wisconsin, who has traditionally been one of the better defensive teams, you know, and I don't, you know, I know Connie went on the last podcast, but, you know, Mike and I talked about Terrence Shannon. I mean, this guy, he had over 23 points again, and it's like we take it for granted. This guy is just, he kept Illinois in the game in the first half.
Yeah, I thought it was a very, it was really a statement game for him. And, of course, as you folks know, Marcus comes on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular on a pretty close to weekly basis. And he is not one to toot his own horn, but I do know from just reading between the lines that this was an important game to him. You know, coming out and getting 31 points in 35 minutes, shooting 12 for 21, 4 for 6 from the 3 for 4 from the free throw line. And people forget, but he had 8 rebounds as well. You know, Illinois was getting lapped in rebounds early in the first half. I think it was up to 13-5 in the advantage of the Badgers early. They ended up losing the battle, but 32-31. And it was just a heck of a game for Damask. Only one turnover, three assists, 8 rebounds, 31 points. That's a heck of a homecoming. Terrence Shannon was scored 23, 6 for 13, 3 for 6 from the 3, 8 for 9 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a turnover. I thought Shannon throughout the game was able to put pressure on Wisconsin, which forced them to have to go back. And I think that is where when Illinois ignored him early in the game, I think that's when Wisconsin was getting more boards. And then when they had to start worrying about him going down the court, that opened up Illinois to some rebounding. And I think that played a bigger role than what you can tell in a score, you know, in a box score.
Oh, Mike, yeah, you know, without a doubt. And, you know, like, and another guy who I was kind of glad to see today was Quincy Guerrier in the game. He typically, for the last 6, 7, or 8 games, he hasn't been in the game late. And then today, Underwood went with him, and I was kind of hoping he would, because I think, you know, when it's your last go around, you know, seniors, they die hard, man. I mean, they, you know, they get after it. So, I mean, when from a statistical standpoint, you know, which I never talk about on podcasts, you know, I think Illinois was 9 of 16 from 3-point range. I mean, a lot of, you know, think about it, they made 9, only lost 16. A lot of times, you know, you're sitting here and they're 9 for 27 or 28. That's good enough for 56% from 3. And they are still, I'm not 100% sure, but I think they are the best free throws. I know they are. They're the best free throw shooting team in the conference. So are the women, by the way. And those are game winners. That's how you close games. Because if you look at the way the game ended, Chucky Hepburn, he got hot down the stretch. And they were making layups. If you miss free throws and miss free throws, that lead shrinks. And then that's when you panic. Another comment that we should give credit, at least I will, I can't speak for you two. The press break today. The way they attacked the press and got the ball in bounds was fabulous today. I know against Penn State, that was a thing that a lot of people complained about. You know, people are always talking about if coaches are making adjustments. Well, there's another one. So, you know, kudos to the coaching staff or whatever. You know, you didn't see that four out of bounds and everybody running in bounds. Hope they get the ball in bounds. There was a lot of imagination to that today. So I was impressed with that.
Yeah, it was a it was definitely some adjustments there coming down the stretch. We'd love to see the press break do well. You know, Hepburn is a very good at getting steals, especially one-on-one. So having, you know, someone else that you can get the ball into and then get it up the court with that skip pass is definitely a more efficient way to do it when you're dealing with a guy like him. But the thing that I thought coming down the stretch of this game that really changes the way Illinois plays is the fact that, you know, Damask has been shooting the ball from three at a lower rate than he has any of his other years. Yes. And, you know, when you get 4 out of 6 from him in a game and, you know, you look at his conference 3-point shooting compared to the non-conference, and that was at 35% coming into today, and he was at 26% on the season. So he's starting to heat up, and that really means that, you know, these teams that play, you know, a power forward on him like Tyler Wahl did today, you know, if you want to put a slower guy on him, he's just gonna shoot right over the top, and it's gonna make teams have to, you know, pick their poison with him. You know, are you gonna put the quicker guy on him that he can bully a little bit more on the block, or are you gonna put the bigger guys that he might be able to shoot over the top of still on the block, but he's also gonna be able to get much better looks from the perimeter? So I think that's the biggest takeaway for me personally. But, you know, when we're getting 31 points from Damask, you know, it's a night where it's going to be good, because we still get 23 from Shannon. You still get 13 from Hawkins. Harmon has a really good game off the bench. You know, he's one of those guys that he can hit a couple threes. Today it didn't go down, but he's really good at attacking closeouts as well, especially from the corner. You know, if you come out on him and he'll take it right down the middle and shoot a little right-handed layup or a little flip shot from the middle. And he's a good free throw shooter. So if you overplay him in that regard and you foul him, he's going to make them. And, you know, having 5 guys you can trust to make free throws down the stretch, that's what makes this team very different from most Illini teams, at least in my lifetime.
And mine. you know, as we look at it, the other thing I wanted to talk about a little bit was Coleman Hawkins had 13 points. 4 for 9 shooting, so he didn't take a lot of shots. 1 for 1 from the 3, 4 for 4 at the free throw line, including a couple when he played the heel there at the end and went in for the layup. That was hilarious, and the boos came up. He definitely has his slot ready for WrestleMania. he had 7 rebounds, an assist, No turnovers. I think that's two games in a row where Hawkins hasn't had a turnover. The play of the game for me with him was in the first half. I think it was Hepburn or Storr was trying to drive on the left side, and he was guarding Ilver. And Hawkins came down into the lane, prevented a drive because the Wisconsin players saw the help in the lane, went back out. They flipped the ball back out to Ilver, who shot a three shot a three that he missed. And to me, that type of awareness, that type of defensive awareness that Hawkins can do when he's not in foul trouble and he's not necessarily trying to play an aircraft carrier in the paint who has him by 50 pounds, that is the situations you want to put him in. And I thought he, while it was a very quiet game, I thought he did a lot of the things that were necessary for the Illini to win and was a fantastic support for Domask and Shannon, who were obviously the offensive cogs today.
Mike, I want to hit on something you kind of talked about first, was the turnovers. For the people who are listening to this great podcast, do you realize Illinois had a total of 12 turnovers in two games? You want to know why the offense is working so well? That's part of it. They had four against Minnesota, I believe, and had eight today. It's all on the road. I mean, that's really, really efficient. And Coleman Hawkins is just, I don't know. It's just hard to explain, you know, like how much he's improved. And, you know, again, you know, we talked about Coach Underwood. I've had a couple people tweet at me before, you know, name a player that's gotten better under Brad Underwood. Ding, ding, ding. Coleman Hawkins is another one because he's been there for all 4 years. But he just does things quietly really, really well. I mean, like that three-pointer he hit today, he didn't force anything today. He just let the game come to him. He's so much more mature. And you guys both know I'm not an NBA guy. And I watched it last night because there was nothing else on a Friday night. But the way that game is played, somebody's going to make a mistake not drafting that kid. Because he will be able to guard guys in his position, and I have to guard the five, and you have to guard him now. You leave him open, you're in trouble. He's shooting over 40-something percent, 45% from the last five or six games from three. So he's just another added weapon, you know, and you got a guy like Luke Goody who didn't play a lot as another weapon. They just have it all with what they need. And I know Dane wasn't great today, but in the tournament, if they're facing a big man, I think the way Dane defends big guys like he did Payne in Minnesota, I'm okay with what they have. Maybe the point guard spot may come to bite them down the stretch if he gets a good scoring point guard, but they defend point guards pretty well. At least Terrence Shannon does. Terrence plays great defense. Played great defense on Storr today, even when it was Hepburn. People don't realize, and I had a conversation with his mother. We had a good talk. She said people should really, really realize and watch how that kid is constantly chasing people for 40 minutes a game and still able to go out and put up 25 and 30. That's hard to do.
Yeah, I think Shannon does a fantastic job on guards. My only concern there would be, you know, he's going to be having a lot on his shoulders in terms of what you want out of him on offense. So, you know, it might be good to get potentially Ty Rogers onto point guards. Rogers did a very good job on Hepburn today. Hepburn got going late, but a couple of those shots, I'm pretty sure they were on Harmon down the stretch. So I think Hepburn at one point was 1-for-4 with 4 points, pretty well into the second half. And Rogers was the one guarding him for most of those minutes. But on to Coleman Hawkins, you know, I'm hoping nobody drafts him, but it's hard for me to see that he's not going to get drafted just with the way he shoots the ball, the effort that he puts in defensively. I mean, when he takes threes at this point, you know, it's looking very fluid, and he's not one of those guys that's taking, you know, college three-pointers. He's taking those shots a lot of the time. It's pretty deep, and teams in the NBA are going to look at that and go, that translates immediately to the NBA level where, you know, they want to have someone that you can have set the pick and then immediately – hit the pop, and that leaves a lot of room for your playmakers to drive through the lane. And, you know, if the help defense comes from your man, Coleman Hawkins will be standing out there catching the ball, and it'll be 3 points in the hoop.
And he can put the ball on the floor. and lead a fast break, which is another important attribute for the next level, even the college level.
He's definitely grown in terms of being able to do stuff off the dribble. I mean, those were things that, you know, last year it looked like he was almost a little bit rushing things, and it would come off a little bit, you know, if he's taking a jumper or the one dribble and then trying to make the extra pass, it would, you know, often result in a turnover. But this year he's able to slow down, take a couple good dribbles, and then get to where he wants to be before putting up a shot or forcing the help defense to come, and then getting it to the person that is open, you know, in rhythm, which I think is, you know, again, right down to the coaching. You know, this is a guy that, you know, most bigs, you know, usually they take their jump either in their sophomore or junior year. You know, Hawkins has taken a massive jump from his junior to senior year. And that's just, you know, on the coaching staff for, you know, helping him out and making sure that he's doing that. And obviously Coleman himself is put the work in. You know, you don't just magically, you know, shoot 12% better from the 3-point line. And I think he's got to be getting close to about 15% better from the free throw line. Like, he's got his butt into the gym, and you can see the results are paying off.
Yeah, I think that's a important thing that we are probably missing from the transfer portal that we won't see as often, is the trip that Coleman Hawkins took from a player who didn't play a ton his freshman year and then really started hitting stride a little bit towards the end of his sophomore year. And now he's all a solid junior year and now moving into a really, really good senior year. And unfortunately, because of the transfer portal and people wanting to play right away or having issues that some other coaching staff says, oh, you know, come here, it's better, you know, guys move on. You've talked to Coleman's dad about who makes the decisions to stick around or to go. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Because Coleman, you know, is a 4-year guy, and he has an opportunity with the COVID year that he could theoretically come back next year if, you know, NIL was greater than wherever the draft status salary would be. But can you talk a little bit about your discussions with Coleman's dad and kind of how that family goes about the decision making?
Of course. I know a lot of people. I know there's senior night, and I know he'll go through senior night. But I had a conversation with his dad about a month ago, because I just thought, like everybody else, you know, which we shouldn't do, it was a foregone conclusion he was going to go to the NBA and just go to the NBA. And you know, his father said to me, listen, I'm not going to, everything's always open with us. We are never going to say, yes, we're coming back, or no, we're doing this, because the reason being is because a lot can happen. A lot of times these teams will tell you that they're going to draft you. Like, I mean, the Utah Jazz, when I was coming out, they, Brad Underwood thought it was a lock. They never even sniffed Iowa. These teams will tell you what you want to hear. And for the people who don't know, this is really important. There's an NBA scout almost at every practice. There's been a minimum of 10 NBA scouts at every game Illinois has played in the last 15 games, home or on the road, looking at Terrence Shannon and Coleman Hawkins. Now, his dad said if he doesn't hear what he wants to hear, which we know he's probably gonna this year, you know, there's a reason, you know, there's a possibility that he could come back. And it's very likely that he could. That's not saying he's going to. But what they do is this. Rodney said to me, when he comes home for break, like if once the tournament's over and they get back from the Final Four, hint, hint, they'll talk to him and just say, hey, what are you thinking? Like, there was talk last year of him wanting in the transfer portal. Dad, I'm saying in Illinois, conversation's done. If you want to try the NBA waters, that's what he wants to do. They support him. And Rodney's a lot different than a lot of other parents, because I asked, I said, hey, you know, do you guys talk about games after games? They wait a day or two after each game, win or lose, before they have any conversation about how they do it. He's the perfect parent and how college athletics should be. He's not forcing anything on his kid. He'll give his kid advice, which I think parents should do. He's neutral. And he'll be the first to tell you he doesn't agree with everything that Coach Underwood does. Like, he's not a fan of having Coleman give up 75 points a game in the post. But he understands that's what's good for the team. But I'll end it with this. Rodney is fully aware, and you guys have all heard this before. The more you win, the more success and the better chance you have to get drafted. You can talk to him about anything, and every time it will come up, I just want to win. I want to win. I want to win. Because if we win, the teams, the NBA scouts and all these people and other recruits will be thinking, well, somebody's on this team's pretty good, so we're going to find out why they're winning. So they get it. So in closing, yes, it's a really good chance he could. And I'm going to tell you, somebody with NIL, the collective team, they would probably put the money up for him because he's well worth proving that he could come back and he has that extra year.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's the plan. I'm hoping these NBA teams are not liking what they're seeing because us as Illini fans, we're going to love him back. So, but I mean, every time I watch him shoot the ball, I'm just thinking he's going to make that three. And I have a hard time seeing NBA teams not thinking, hey, I'm going to be able to get a player that's immediately going to be able to contribute as in a role player, whether that's, you know, coming off the bench first, but I think he's going to be a piece in the NBA for teams that want bigs that shoot the ball and play good defense. And that's kind of what you want as a role playing big. So, you know, obviously, you know, if he gets one more year of development in college, you know, someone will still be drafting him next year. But I mean, I have a hard time seeing teams passing on him if he is, actually staying in the draft.
Connor, I have a homework assignment for you because I can't figure it out. I want you to help me and our listeners out there. I want to find the last guy at 6'10" in the Big Ten that's done what Coleman's done because I can't think of anybody, even in college basketball. I can't find a comparison, not to shoot the ball the way he does and defend, and then to be able to guard all five positions. I know we haven't talked about this. Steve Bartle, I forget who the announcer was. I think it's Raphael, the guy from Purdue. They were going at it on Twitter, who was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. And, you know, Barter went with Coleman because he could guard all five positions, which is another nice thing you could have in the NBA because, I mean, he could do that. So I just think his overall game, and it would be tough for him to come back because there's no way. I mean, like you said, it would be nice, but, I mean, you'd be crazy not to have a guy. They always want to see you improve, and his numbers have skyrocketed. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, without doing any homework, the guy that immediately comes to mind as far as bigs that can stretch the floor and at least switch somewhat, he's probably not as good at switching on defense, but Kaminsky was a very good shooter. He could play solid defense. He couldn't guard guards as well, but he was a stretch big that played solid defense at the college level. Now,
good comparison.
He got exposed as far as his defense, but, you know, at least in the NBA, but he played for a solid about a decade, so before his injuries caught up to him. So he stuck around in the league. But I think Coleman Hawkins is a better defender, and I think that's kind of what would separate him from Kaminsky.
And both of those guys come out of high school with 3-star recruits. Coleman Hawkins was a 3-star recruit, and so was Kaminsky. So that just tells you that stars don't always mean anything if you put the work in.
Yeah, you're exactly right on that. As we kind of get wrapped down to the end of it, any other random thoughts you have on this game before we kind of turn our eyes forward to what we will see as a massive showdown on Tuesday? I'm going to throw a couple stats at you. You know, Illinois shot 52%. Wisconsin was at 50, so they kept that relatively close. But Illinois was 56% from the three, holding Wisconsin to 38. 80% at the free throw line for Illinois, 74 for Wisconsin. And I thought the interesting thing was the turnover point. You know, turnovers were equal at 8 each. Total rebounds, 32 to 31, was in favor of Wisconsin. And then the second chance points, Wisconsin won that 12-9. Bench points were 15 to 14, Wisconsin. Points in the paint, 44 to 32, Wisconsin. And then Illinois won the fast break points, 19 to 10. So across the board, this was a fairly close game. except Illinois shot the ball from the three a little better and shot the ball at the free throw line a little better and got to the line a little more often. But aside from just the pure statistics, what thoughts do you have?
Well, just moving forward with it, Mike, you know, and looking at the big picture, they did all the things that coaches talk about. I haven't had a chance to hear Brad Underwood's comments regarding the press conference, but shooting the ball, I think they defended well. I mean, I just think the offenses are better. I mean, I know people don't want to hear that, but that's what I really truly believe. And again, beating a team for the first time no one's ever won four straight and against Wisconsin and Nicole Center speaks highly volumes of Underwood.
Yeah, that defensive performance was definitely better than what we've seen recently. And, you know, you can only get better from where you were yesterday. And team is taking strides. Now, obviously, Purdue is going to be, you know, a different animal in terms of, like, what you have to do on that end. But given the personnel that Wisconsin has, they did put together a very good performance. You know, they got a couple threes late from, you know, Marcus Ilver and Hepburn put in a couple threes late when the game was basically over. But Illinois, you know, it was a game where, you know, that team was at 75 for a while, and it's just got to keep making progress on that end. And today it looked like they did make that progress.
I'll tell you what, too, guys, Tuesday night when they play Purdue, all eyes will be on national TV. This is a stage, you know, where it's going to recruiting, the fan bases. I mean, you know, because Purdue and Illinois have been the best two Big Ten teams in the last 5 years when it comes to total wins. I think Illinois has maybe a one or two game lead on Purdue. And the two fan bases really don't like each other. I've tried to tell Purdue fans, be careful, because it's nice when you have a big 7-foot king in the post. Illinois lost theirs, and, you know, we saw Zach Edey's not coming back. So those wins are going to be tougher to come. So you're going to come back down to reality. But social media should be fun this week. I'm really curious to see what the national media is going to think and who they're going to pick. And the spread, the odds, because Illinois' favorite, and they are clearly – rankings are great, but they are clearly, in my eyes, if you have to pick 10 or 15 teams to win it all, I don't know how you can leave them out.
Yep, totally agree with that. So that game's coming up. Of course, first time around, there was no Terrence Shannon. Illinois had a rough first half, made a run of it against Purdue in the second half. I think this game's going to come down largely to the Illini figuring out how to stay out of foul trouble. And then the second part is, what can they do to get Edey somehow away from the basket, even a step or two on the defensive end, to give them a little bit of opportunity to move. Big game coming up, so we will obviously be talking about that on IlliniGuys.com. Any final comments from you, Ked, before we wrap up here?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that, because I want to say something as soon as you mention Zach Edey. I love Ty Rogers, the three of us. We do. But this game, Justin Harmon will see the floor more, because Zach Edey's going to have to guard somebody, and it won't be Justin Harmon, which means that he will probably have to guard Coleman Hawkins. I don't think you can booty ball Ty Rogers and Zach Edey. He's just too long. This will be my change. If I'm coaching, that will be the change that I'm having. Even if it's Draymond Gibbs Longhorn, somebody, or Luke Goody, is going to be a threat. Make him get out and guard, because if you make him leave that free throw line, the offense will still work.
Yeah, they'd have to do a little bit of moving around in the starting lineup to make sure that doesn't happen. He hasn't been switching up the starting lineup at all, so I'm not sure if he's planning on moving Harmon or Goody into the starting lineup to make sure that Edey has to be guarding, you know, either Gurry or Hawkins out on the perimeter. But yeah, that Rogers is a tough matchup when it comes to Edey, because they'll just put Edey on him and clog that paint up, because they know Rogers won't take those jumpers. But if we were to move Rogers out of the starting lineup, then you could theoretically, you know, any time that Edey hits the bench, you immediately just put Rogers into the game, and he can kind of pick his spots and go.
Well, you know, I love totally cool with Ty starting. It just would be, you know, 5, 6, 7, or 8 minutes. He would get his couple minutes and stuff, and there's no disrespect to him because he has not shot a jump shot past 50. I don't think he shot a jump shot all season, to tell you the truth. And I've not missed a game. You want to start and put him in the lineup, but in 2 or 3 minutes, if that's their game plan, then you don't get behind. You know, don't give Purdue any momentum. Just go with it and make him pay because if – truthfully, it would probably be Luke Goody just because he's a little bit taller, you know, and I like, you know, having Justin come off the bench. Make him have to guard somebody because if you put Luke Goody in or Justin Harmon, no team in the Big Ten has five guys that can shoot threes like that. All five guys will be able to do it, so he'd have to guard somebody.
Any other final thoughts there, Ked?
Enjoy this Saturday, because again, I mean, this is a great team, Mike and Connor, and it's not come around very often. I mean, I know people are going to be critical. Just enjoy, because I'm in awe. I'm telling you, like John Beilein said today, he's a believer, and so am I. I thought this was the game on the schedule that I penciled in as a loss. I'm sorry I did, and to do what they did today, it's going to be a good Saturday.
Yeah, I thought there was much less drama than I anticipated as they went down the stretch. We'll throw one final comment in. Normally, I'm not a big believer in stacking a bunch of crap before the game starts. But I will tell you, the Howard Moore ceremony, I thought was both heartbreaking and hopeful at the same time. A guy who ended up, you know, going in the car for a few minutes, not knowing that his life would be forever changed, you know, just incredible. Obviously, you got to think about your loved ones and how much you appreciate them. You don't anticipate things changing that way. Of course, for those who aren't familiar, he's assistant coach and former player at Wisconsin who got into a car wreck, and his wife and daughter were killed. His son was minorly injured, and he was very, very injured in numerous ways, including, severe burns and a lot of other things. And he has not been in the Kohl Center since 2019. And I found it very emotional to see him come back and the expression on his face and the joy was awesome. You can have those type of ceremonies before games, and I'm willing to tune in because there's a man who has fought through an incredible amount and he's still here. I thought that was great.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, I'm sorry, Mike. I'm gonna comment. I'm really sorry. I was kind of taken back. I remember when this first happened, I didn't know he had a heart attack, because I remember when it first happened, they were trying to get him back in coaching. And when he walked out, I didn't know the heart attack had happened. When he was on the floor, I was speechless because I didn't realize that. I had no idea. And that was tough. That was really tough to see. And it was emotional. It was for the people at home. And the people who went to the game, excuse me, they showed Deion Thomas, who coached with him when he was at UIC, was in tears. I didn't realize that. I had no idea. These things that we should never take for granted. We love the sport. And, you know, you leave your home and do something, you never know. So just, you know, I know the world we live in right now is tough. It's bitter and we're divided. But when you see stuff like that, man, it puts things in perspective.
Yeah, it does. It does. So with that, folks, we will be back in just one moment to wrap up the show.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know, be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting. IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
If I was your mother and you had a drug problem, I'd grab you by the ear and make you call and get help. You can be in treatment tomorrow and start to get clean in 7 days. Follow mom's advice and call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. Write this number down.
800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. That's 800-980-1761.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen to us. Obviously, we're a much happier group of people when the Illini win and there's less stress involved. But boy, what a great game was done by the players and the coaches. Seemed like today the Illini were a step quicker. Doesn't mean that the next time they play that the outcome won't be different. But boy, the Illini have clinched their double bye at the Big Ten tournament. We're excited to have multiple Illini guys up there to cover it. And boy, this Illini team, when you keep Coleman Hawkins and Guerrier out of foul trouble, the defense is good enough that the offense can then take over and get its 90 points. And then it's okay if your opponents score 80. What a game it was for the Illini. And we look forward to the big matchup, 6 o'clock on Tuesday against Purdue. That will be a huge, huge game. And it'll be Zach Edey's last time in State Farm Center. Whether you like Zach Edey or you don't like Zach Edey, he's been the most influential college basketball player of the last 4 years. And it would be nice to see if they could send him back to West Lafayette with a loss. If the Illini can earn a W, they will definitely have to work their butts off for it. We will see you Tuesday night. Go Illini.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
As school messes return, rest easy. Clorox has got your back to school.
Oh, no.
I'm back. That messy science experiment. And I brought baking soda, cornstarch.
And you're due tomorrow, right? Well, at least I stocked up on Clorox disinfecting wipes. Because you're not messing up my kitchen counters like last time.
Ooh, smart. Got any food coloring?
And off to the store we go.
Stock up on Clorox disinfecting wipes that clean 3 times better than wet paper towels on kitchen grease and soap scum. Use as directed.
School is back, and Dick's Sporting Goods has what you need to win your year. Shop the hottest styles from the best brands like Nike, Jordan, FP Movement, Adidas, and Stanley. Stop by your local store or visit dicks.com for fast shipping. Now you're ready to win your year.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Requires Gemini device and additional paid subscriptions to watch Netflix and other third-party apps. Terms and restrictions apply.